occupational therapist and a certified aging in place specialist. And this is the Home Designs for Life podcast, your resource for aging in place and universal design. For more resources on aging in place, please visit my website, homedesignsforlife.com. There you will find my blog and more valuable information on how you can age in place and create a home for life. Hello, everyone, and thank you for being with me today. Our guest is Jared Gardemel. He is an interior designer in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he is the owner of JF Gardemel Designs, which is a full-service interior design firm. Jared, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to speak about this topic with you today.
Yes, so I invited Jared because Jared specializes in designing for senior living facilities. And in fact, we met at High Point just a few weeks ago. We were on a panel that was hosted by the Fairfield Collective, and it was about designing for aging in place and for senior living. So Jared, tell me how you got started designing for senior living.
Well, I've been in this business for almost 30 years. And when I first started, I was working with another designer doing an apprenticeship and assistantship. And one of our clients actually owned several nursing homes. And we would do periodic upgrades. And then in every couple of years, those facilities have to be maintained. It's a lot of daily wear and tear, no different than a hotel. And so you pick up things along the way. You remember, it's like gaining a skill in any profession. And it's been interesting to see how the concepts of these homes have changed over the last, I'd say, 25 years, from something that was purely clinical to something that is more geared to hospitality. So that's how I started.
Yes. Well, great. That's interesting that you said that, because I have been an OT for about 14 years. And I have definitely seen the changes over time from the time I started working as an OT, going into independent living facilities that were also mixed with assisted living, sometimes with memory care. And they definitely have become more conscientious of incorporating more contemporary style.
Yes, without a doubt.
Now, one thing I love about how you design is that you use color, and you use a lot of saturated colors. You incorporate color contrast, and all of those features are an important aspect of creating designs that are friendly for older adults.
Right.
And I think many people don't realize that. So educate us on that from your perspective as a designer.
Okay. It all started with the architecture. So in our area, we have a couple of very well-known prominent architects who are prominent sort of in the Gulf South region. And with the development of open floor planning, wall colors, you've got to be very, very careful, because they can overpower the architecture and they can create a real muddy mess. Also, saturated wall colors are not easy to live with over time in a big space. And like any designer, you know, I made my share of mistakes, but you learn how to become better through those mistakes. And so what I've found over the years is that these lighter, a little bit more warm tone neutrals in whatever value of lightness and darkness create a wonderful backdrop for these open floor plans. But nobody's personality is beige. I like to say that. And so you can tell by the way a client comes in for a meeting, the way they're dressed, when you do an initial interview in their home, you get a sense of where they are, if they like richer colors or if they like something more pale. But you can still create those color contrasts, because moving through a space, particularly as we age, you know, it's all about your eyesight and where your eyes can detect the contrast. It makes it much easier to move around and also to avoid tripping hazards and falling. And I do the same with the case goods and occasional. You know, they're contrasted with the furniture that they're sitting next to because it helps to define a space from one to the other. So it's just about being sensible in the functionality of a space, but it's across the board age-wise. It's just developed into, you know, we're all getting older. And so it's just developed that that's those traits and elements of design carry over beautifully into a space that's, you know, geared to an older adult.
Yes, I agree. And I wanted to add that our vision actually starts to deteriorate between the ages of 35 and 40. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be very old at all to experience changes. The thing is, it happens gradually. So we don't realize that by the time we're 60, we need three times as much light to be able to see the same thing that someone that is age 20 is
seeing. That's right.
And another thing is that because the proteins in our retina also oxidize as we get older, we start seeing the world through a yellow lens. And so we don't see blues and greens in a true way because of this yellowing of the lens. So that's another reason why we also have to be very careful with the colors that we choose to put on our walls or our furniture. And especially when you're not creating color contrast and you have similar colors between your walls and your furniture.
Right. Because shadows and the light are what help us to navigate through a space, because your eye naturally goes to the furthest point in a room first to orient you to the space. And so anything that's too dark, all-encompassing, is you're asking for trouble. I mean, I had a situation yesterday. I was in a job site, and the clients had their front porch and the steps painted all in navy blue. It was lovely. But I'm going to tell you, walking up and down those steps, I had to be very cautious, because there's no delineating visual cue that the steps were at different heights. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this was a poor choice. You know, it was existing. So all that stuff matters. And even at my age of 53, I mean, you fall, it's going to be a problem. And I'm in good shape. it's going to be a problem.
I can give you the example of my neighbor. She's 50. And just 2 weeks ago, I heard screaming from, I was in my office working on a Saturday, and I hear screaming, and she was gardening and she fell from her retainment wall, which is about 4 feet high. And she ended up fracturing her ankle and dislocating her
elbow. Wow. Yeah, 4 feet. Yeah.
So, and now she's in a wheelchair in her house. Well, she had to have surgery. Now she's in a wheelchair. And we really had to brainstorm how we were going to get her inside the house, because she doesn't have a zero-step entry.
Right.
And she has three different entrances to the house. Not one of them was a zero-step
right.
entry. So, you know, you don't have to be old. No.
But you need to work. It is important to work with somebody who has an understanding of those things.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, since you said that, I want to bring up that interior designers, I feel that they play such an important role in helping people age in place. What do you think about that? What do you see as the interior designer's role in creating designs that are functional, but are also attractive?
That's a great question. My philosophy about this, and I've mentioned this to you before, is that, you know, any design is not about just creating a pretty space. In so many ways, it's about preserving a person's dignity to live independently. You know, we're, as Americans, we're geared to that differently from other cultures. And so it's very, very important. And what I've learned over the years working with clients who were older and moving them from their existing home, say one of them became a widow and we moved her to her assisted living facility, and a great facility. And, you know, they offer everything under the sun, you know, rides to the symphony, movies out. I mean, they have a piano bar. It's great. But she had a whole 50 years with her husband. And so, you know, we wanted to create a place in this assisted living facility where she could have all the best of those memories. She wasn't a hoarder. She wasn't trying to hold on. She knew that she had to give a lot of those things to her children and grandchildren. But it really was about creating the feel of the big house in this new space. And, you know, she was so happy. And with a client of mine whose husband is a bit older than she, and we had to create just a slight ramp within the house because on the lot itself, it sloped gently upward. But he's going to be in a wheelchair, you know, soon. And then we created a hidden ramp coming up on the side with a handrail, but also it's currently steps, but it could have a ramp put over the top of it to allow him to use that. So nobody likes to be reminded, you know, that they know that they've got challenges. We all do. I like to say I realized at 40 years old that I was in a fight to the death with my body and I was going to lose ultimately. I mean, your eyesight, you know, you wake up with aches and pains you never knew existed when you were 20. But nobody wants to be reminded of that. You want to be able to have the elements of those, have the elements of interior design such that it's not even a thought. So, you know, for example, picking out levers instead of knobs, digital keypads for entry and exit, the right performance fabrics, you know, decorative draperies rather than draw draperies, but with motorized shades. You know, all these things matter. Accessorizing in such a way that, you know, it's simpler, but it's got the right scale, but it's not a lot. So you're not going to have a situation where you knock something over that was precious to you. You know, there's a place for those away in lighted cabinets, things like that. You know, furniture that's rounded and doesn't have, you know, fanciful legs or all this ornamentation to trip over. All those things matter. And working with the contractor, you can achieve it. And one of the things I did want to say is that designing specifically for being able to age in place is no more expensive than a regular remodel. And I, you know, I can say that from experience, but, you know, people think that, oh, well, you know, but it's not. If you're still were going to do the remodel, say you were buying the house and you were just going to do a general remodel, it's no more expensive to incorporate the ideas of more space and, you know, no threshold shower entries, things like that. You still have to have the same workmen and components as before. It just takes a little bit more thought, but it doesn't cost any more money. And I think that's something that people should remember, because I think oftentimes people give up the thought, oh, I can't live in my house anymore. You know, I need to go. Well, you know, if it's a two-story house, I mean, I live in a two-story house. I just went upstairs for the first time last night in 3 weeks. I mean, who goes up there? You know, we have guests who use it, but so what? It's got its own thermostat. Let it be. And, you know, the rest of it can all be workable. And that makes people happiness. And isn't that what it's about? Because the better you feel about your situation, the healthier you'll be physically and mentally. I'm no doctor, but I just know from experience working with clients for this many years that, you know, it's important for them to feel like they're not giving up.
Well, you're a doctor of it.
I'll take that.
Well, I love that you said that, because you're right. Many people and many professionals think that designing for aging in place or incorporating universal design features in your build or your designs is going to, you know, make the budget explode, and then automatically they don't want to do it. And, you know, you're another professional saying that, no, that's not true. You just have to be knowledgeable and you have to have the right skill set. And people don't know what they need. You know, that's what I've realized, that if you talk to someone about making their home more accessible, making it more functional, they most likely will respond with, well, I don't need that right now. But you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Right.
We could just be talking about the color of your furniture, right, or what type of furniture you're buying. We're not talking about grab bars. Right.
And that's so, it. And that's everyone's go-to. I don't want grab bars. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like you said, that's not even an issue for discussion. I've even done projects where we had all of the blocking put in behind the tile. And we know when the time comes where the grab bars can go. It's there. We don't have to worry about it because the blocking is behind the wall, mainly by tubs, because that's an area where, you know, it's much more challenging, but a lot of people like to use their tub, and it can be much more challenging.
Yes. And especially older people, I think because they grew up using mm-hmm. tubs, they really like using right. tubs.
But, you know, things like all the other things, you know, zero entry showers, you know, all of that, it just makes more sense. Generally,
and it looks better.
That's right.
And what you said earlier about it gives people peace of mind when they realize that they have options, I wanted to add that everything you were saying is liberating.
Yeah.
Because many people feel that, oh, I have to move to an assisted living or an independent living facility, or I should be thinking about moving to a 55 plus mm-hmm. community.
Sure.
When all of those things may not ever be necessary.
Right.
And that's why you have to work with someone who's skilled to educate you on what can be done with your current space. Because let's face it, the cheapest thing is to stay in your own
yes.
home and modify
yes.
your home. So how do you have that conversation with people?
A lot of times with older clients, and I would say that, you know, I started working with so many of my clients, you know, over 20 years ago, and it becomes a source, unless they are currently in a wheelchair or may soon be in a wheelchair because of a pending disability like MS, you don't I always couch it in terms of practicality. And I always put it back on myself. You know, hey, if this were me, you know, I would want a wider door here, or I would do, you know, I know from when I remodeled in my last house, I took out all the existing cabinets. I mean, that was 18 years ago. I'm like, I am not going to get down on my hands and knees to search in the back of a kitchen cabinet for what I need. Drawers everywhere, drawers as much as I can. So it really is an issue of better aesthetics, better practicality, better functionality that have zero to do with your age. You know, I'd say the only thing sometimes would be in the kitchen. And then it would really be about appliances that are accessible. But fridge drawers and freezer drawers and dishwasher drawers, all of those, and under counter microwaves, all of those are, I always equate it to television technology. Yes, they all started out as being, you know, the top of the line, the most expensive. But I'm not what people call an early adapter, because I know from experience there's going to be kinks to work out. But now all of those things have become such a part of mainstream life, it's easy to incorporate. And like I said, I mean, if you've been in a house for 20 years, chances are it's time that you need to update it and maintain it. And you're doing it not only to help yourself, you're also doing it so if you or your kids go to sell it after you either, you know, pass away or move to an assisted living facility, you know, you've made it so that they have the flexibility to sell it at top dollar because you've maintained it. You've also made it beautiful aesthetically. You know, it's a win-win all around. You know, this doesn't have to be, you know, a topic that is shunted off to the side. And that's
a great,
you know,
point.
That's what I've done. And with my client too, if, you know, who, you know, I remember, you know, recently a client of mine had a debilitating stroke, and her husband still had plenty of, very active. And so he had he goes a lot, and he had a caretaker there for his wife, but they live on the water. And he said, you know, I want to be able to give her the view, but if I'm not home at night, you know, I want her to feel protected. And so, you know, and the windows were huge. So we did these motorized solar screens that did everything that he wanted. And she could be in that den area on the water. And because she was still somewhat mobile, she had, you know, some speech problems, but he wanted her to feel safe. And that did it. And it was that simple. And when we designed the home 10, 15 years ago, they were probably in their early 60s. And we incorporated all of those design details on the front end. So we had the right width doors, you know, not much in the way of hallways, you know, easier to move from room to room, but incorporated 40 years of their married life into this house. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's beautiful, you know, and, you know, since both have, you know, they've both passed since then, but, you know, they had a big family, two daughters, lots of grandkids. They all came, they were on the water constantly. It was a great way to spend the rest of, you know, the days that they had left. It really was.
Right. Yeah. And they were able to enjoy their
absolutely
and stay in their home, and then make it, as you said, you're making your home more comfortable for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're making it more comfortable for other people. You're going to get to enjoy that investment. And then when it comes time to sell your home, you're going to sell it for
$10. Yes. And so I don't see a downside to any of this.
I
really don't.
And as an OT, I can tell you there does come a time where someone is no longer safe in their home. And the best decision is for them to move to either an independent living facility or assisted living or maybe memory care. I just want to spread the message that you don't have to go to that decision prematurely.
Correct.
So we've talked a lot about private residences and people aging in place in their own home. Now I want you to tell me, when you're working with senior living facilities, with these companies, what are they asking for? Or do they even know what to ask for? Or is it you that is creating the suggestions, the recommendations?
I think it's actually both. In my experience, they know that's an industry that is constantly having to do continuing education seminars. So much of it is regulated, thankfully, because you're dealing with some of the most vulnerable people in our society. So they do lots of seminars, lots of continuing ed lectures. And what I've noticed is that there has been a real change, I'd say, in the last 5 to 10 years. And the realization that you aren't designing these facilities, and I'm speaking specifically of nursing and rehabilitation centers, for the patient, resident, client, whatever they may be, but for their families. Because, you know, if the resident is, you know, has some memory impairment, but, you know, maybe slight dementia, but they're not a memory care resident. The families are the ones who need to feel at home. And so you're talking about a generation that was, well, basically they're in my generation. So they were raised in the 70s and the 80s, and they want something that feels fresher, that feels contemporary. And so that's the route that we usually go now. And the way I like to phrase it is that it's timeless contemporary. So because these facilities take a lot to build or remodel, they take a lot to get operational. And so, you know, you're outside of regular maintenance, you're talking about a good 20 years before they will go through this again. So, you know, what you put in has got to last. It's got to have the best frames. It's got to have the right kind of cushion inserts. It also ought to have a bit of an edge to make it feel a little bit more like a hotel, but not something that's going to, you know, age out. And technology is such a great thing. I mean, all these performance fabrics, I was even telling someone while I'm setting up this new facility, you know, when I started in this business, it was all vinyl that delaminated, or it felt like plastic. It was awful. And the colors weren't even colors on a color wheel that I can remember. They were just, it was just the worst. But as all of these industries have gained in knowledge, it's really no different now than designing for any restaurant or, you know, upper end hotel. You're able to elevate the look, and people really can't believe it. They come through and they're excited, and even the residents are excited because they see it's not, I used to equate it to, it was just one step above a funeral parlor. When I first started, I mean, it was hunter greens and burgundies and navy blues and federal style sofas and very, very early American visually. And the lighting was poor and it was the worst. And now we take into consideration all of the same issues that we take into consideration for any commercial space. So you have lighting options and the bulbs and the functional lighting all renders between 2,700 and 3,000 Kelvin. And so it's got this warmth to it And you've created these entry spaces where it's very welcoming. And it's not, you know, the functionality of it is there. Nobody's trying to hide it. You know, we've got nurses' stations. But again, the way it's presented is more almost like it's like almost right, or like an information station or a concierge desk in a hotel. Mm-hmm. And those principles are solid. And I don't think those will change anytime soon, because, you know, we're all getting smarter, you know, if we do our jobs right. And, you know, taking into consideration, I think before it was, again, that class of person over the age of 65, say, you know, they were, it really was, at least when I was growing up, it was a place that you put your relative. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And, you know, I don't know what changed generationally, but it's not like that anymore. And it may be because, you know, the baby boomers, you know, still have such a say, and they're very independent, and, you know, people are listening. And, you know, if you want to grab your share of the market as, you know, the owner of these facilities, you need to pay attention. And that's what I'm finding as I'm working in more of these facilities with different property owners. They understand. You know, you've got to, because people have options. They do. You know, it used to not be that way. But now with these facilities stepping up their game, it's created competition, which is great. You know, because the end user is the one who benefits. You know,
I agree with you, and I hope that, no, I am confident with everything that you said, that there will be more facilities that will be designed by someone like you or a team that has this skill set, rather than what we have been seeing.
Yes.
Which is, you know, where just furniture is poorly picked, wall colors. One big pet peeve that I have is the countertops that they would put in residence apartments, yeah, where they would have a black granite countertop with little speckles, you know, where it looked like little diamonds. Uh-huh. And that created so much confusion for the person using it.
Yes.
Even if they didn't have macular degeneration or glaucoma,
right,
they would tell me, I can't see what's on the counter.
I couldn't
see. It's
so
dark.
Yeah. I couldn't see. No, I know. But I will say this. Again, technology is a wonderful thing. You know, back in the day, if you had, there was only one man-made quartz available, and it looked like a hospital. I know the name brand. But now, you cannot tell the difference between these and natural stone. So, you know, putting these in the residence rooms and on their counters in the private baths, it does not feel or look like a hospital room. You know, you still have to have the bed. You know, I mean, it is still what it is. I mean, you still have to have, you know, those beds that function and operate differently, but, you know, they all have custom made bedspreads on them. I mean, it's nice. You're not trying to ignore the real issues. You're just trying to incorporate it in such a way that everyone's comfortable and making them as happy as they can be, you know, mm-hmm, with whatever medical problems they have. It should be a quality of life, you know, and a lot of times it's an improvement, because socially they're not isolated. You know, they make friends, they make connections, and the world becomes small and comfortable again. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of, because anxiety about anticipating something that you don't know is always the worst about anything. and creating spaces where people feel comfortable enough to open up and relax. I mean, you know, that's what it's about. And that way, you know, you're using all of the tools at your disposal as a designer to, you know, to create spaces that are conducive to, you know, sociability in whatever way you're comfortable.
Yeah. And that everyone will enjoy.
Right.
Now, tell me about designing for the multi-generational household. Now, since COVID, it has increased by a lot. So now 1 in 4 people are living in a multi-generational household, which means more than three or more generations. And people have said that they plan to continue to do so. So how does an interior designer design for this kind of family and this kind of space?
Well, I think, and again, I'm going to say that, you know, we as Americans are used to space and we're different from other cultures for whom this is the norm. You know, when I work with clients who, you know, are Asian, Hispanic, I mean, that's just a part of their culture. Americans, not so much. And the way I approach it is that you have to give everybody their space. It doesn't have to be, you know, acres and acres of space, but, you know, it's just creating spaces where you, with the kids, they have a den or they have a playroom, and then you sort of have, you know, they're all going to get together for meals, and you have that space. And then the older adults, you know, usually you can carve out, you know, enough space in their living room. Because a lot of times, even in assisted living, I mean, you have, it's a bed sit, right? So they've got the bed and then they have a sitting area. And because they just want to be able to have a space where they can go and have a little privacy. Doesn't have to be a lot, but you just are creating options. And again, that just goes to, you know, our independence at whatever age. And also, it doesn't matter. You love these people, but really, you don't want to spend every waking moment with them because we get on each other's nerves. We learned that during the pandemic, too.
We did.
You know, I love you, but wow, it's one of those things.
We have spent a lot of time
exactly.
together.
So everybody wants a little place where they can go to their corners and do. And I think it becomes much more manageable when you don't feel obligated to have to spend all this time together. It makes it okay, you know, and you can come and go, you know, as you wish.
Yeah, you can come together when you want to and have your own space when you don't.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm Hispanic and I grew up in a multi-generational household where we had my grandmother that came from Cuba. She was very old at the time. She was already in her late 70s when she came from Cuba, and she was also blind. She had macular degeneration, so she couldn't live by herself. So she lived with us, and then my uncle also lived with us because he had mental health issues. He had the diagnosis of schizophrenia, so he couldn't live by himself either.
Sure.
And we lived in an old home that was built in 1932. And as you know, with old homes, unless you lived in a really, really nice big one, you only had one bathroom.
Right.
And so we only had one bathroom. And that created many issues.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so there are ways to divide it up because, I mean, really and truly, you know, I mean, the average three bedroom, three bath or four bedroom, three bath, it can be made to work, you know, because people, it's just a different way of looking at a space. sort of, it's like solving a puzzle. I mean, you could be looking at a jigsaw puzzle and be stumped by one area, and somebody can walk by and put it all together right then. So it's having another set of eyes on it to figure out a creative way to make it work. And there are simple fixes a lot of times for that. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of giving everybody the sense that they have choices. You know, and that's true in any design. As far aesthetically, you know, that's an easy workaround. But it's just a matter of architecturally figuring those spaces out, you know.
So for people who are listening to us and they either can't afford to hire someone like you, or they can't hire you, because the truth of the matter is that even though interior designers are a very important profession in helping people age in place, not that many of them have the skill set to do so.
Right.
So what advice do you have for people who think you've come up with some great ideas, yet they can't hire you directly, or they can't afford to hire an interior designer, or maybe they don't even know where to find one that has the skill set necessary? What is your advice to them? Where can they start?
I think that, you know, knowledge obviously is power. That's an old trope. But now it's so much easier than ever to gather up necessary information. And there's so much out there on the internet about universal design and about ways to incorporate these elements and concepts that, you know, that the best way is to arm yourself with as much knowledge as you can gather to get started. And then there are a lot of general contractors who specialize in remodels. Some specialize in aging in place design. But I will say this, if you work with any reputable general contractor, they're going to listen. Number one, I would interview several to find one that's going to listen and be receptive to your ideas. Most of the time, any good general contractor is going to be like any good designer. They look forward to the challenge and they want to make the customer happy. And that's what it is. But anybody is going to feel more confident if they have a checklist, at least to get started. And that's where the internet is such a powerful tool. There's just an infinite number of resources and articles, and it helps to winnow down to the concepts that are the most important. And then after working with the general contractor, they're going to have subcontractors who can help them to steer them in the right direction, to make the right choices on finishes and color choices. And those are the ways that you can, you know, conquer this without feeling as if you're spinning your wheels or being totally frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. Yeah. Arm yourself with knowledge.
Yes. Yes. I'm a big reader. One of my favorite things to do, and I love to learn. And, you know, those are the things, I mean, it's just literally right there at your fingertips. And so it's like, don't be afraid to ask the questions. And I think that's where, you know, I would suggest somebody, it will give you the confidence to ask the right questions.
Yes.
And you'll end up with the best results, because you, it's no different than any project. You don't want to spin your wheels, and you don't want to spend money unnecessarily or spend money in the service of mistakes. Nobody wants to do that. So it'll never be perfect, because there's no such thing, but you can get pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It will help you get closer to having the home that you've always wanted. Like you said, for most people, it's time to remodel their home anyway.
Right. That's right.
So might as well make it more comfortable and functional and accessible.
That's right.
Well, Jared, I loved our conversation.
Me too.
I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, all of our listeners. You gave us some great tips, and they all came from the perspective of an interior designer, which you are the first interior designer on my podcast.
So thank you. That makes me feel really good. I'm glad I was able to share, you know, some ideas, and hopefully that'll give people, like I said, you know, some information to move forward if this is something that has been on their minds, but they've been too nervous or scared to proceed with. So hopefully that'll give them some options.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
Okay, so my website is www.jfgardamaldesigns.com, and also my Instagram handle is the same, jfgardamaldesigns. And we're constantly putting up, having reels now showing pictures of a new senior living facility that we're installing. And so, yeah, so I'm always available. If anybody's got questions, they can reach out to me that way.
Okay, great. And I am going to provide your URL to your website and also the link to your Instagram handle on the show notes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you,
Janet. Thank you, Janet. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You're welcome. You too.